John Thomas versus Employment Security Department.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Mark Lampson. I'm the director of the Unemployment Law Project, and we represent Mr. Thomas in his appeal for unemployment benefits. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, Your Honor.
Very well.
Mr. Thomas worked full-time, year-round, all of 2008, 2009, 2010, and half of 2011 for the Seattle School District. Suddenly, in June of 2011, he learned from his union that he'd no longer be working in June, July, and August. So he applied for unemployment benefits and was denied because he had reasonable assurance under the reasonable assurance statutes of employment in the fall. The reasonable assurance statutes disqualify school employees from unemployment benefits when they have reasonable assurance of employment in the fall. But this court has held that the reasonable assurance statutes don't apply, and therefore people can qualify for unemployment benefits when they work at a year-round instructional institution, educational institution.
You rely on Evans as your sole basis for arguing that he is entitled to benefits. Is that right?
The Evans case?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor. And the Evans case held that people who work at year-round institutions qualify for unemployment benefits because there is no break between the successive terms. And so the language of the statute, which talks about successive terms, doesn't apply. And the same logic should apply to Mr. Thomas because there was no break in his work for 3.5 years.
But that's based on his work experience for the prior summers. Generally speaking, though, the elementary school had a summer break, and that is no activities, no educational classes were going on.
Well, I'm not sure that we know that from the record, Your Honor.
How do you relate? But you haven't disputed any of the factual findings. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So in Evans, how do you can you discuss the court's reliance on the fact that the summer term, as they concluded, involved classes, credits being given, and how is that applicable to your client?
Well, the focus was on, they did talk about that, and there's no evidence in this record, in our record, in Mr. Thomas's record, with regard to whether classes were going on or not. But if we, so we can either focus on the institution or we can focus on the individual. If we focus on the institution was functioning year-round, as evidenced by the fact that Mr. Thomas worked there year-round. So whether it was whether there were classes going on was irrelevant. It was a year-round institution. He worked there to keep it going, to be a year-round institution.
So let me be clear. You're not relying on what the institution, in this case the elementary school, did during the summer. You're asking us to rely on what he did, his work experience at that institution during the summer for the prior 2.5 years that he worked there.
The argument is either that Evans should apply directly, the logic of Evans should apply directly, or it should be extended to people in Mr. Thomas's situation because the logic is the same. The logic is the same because there's no break between successive terms. Whether we're looking at the institution or we're looking at the individual, there was no break in the terms for Mr. Thomas and other people similarly situated.
Do you agree, though, that the elementary school had a summer vacation break?
It's not in the record, but I don't want to be I don't want to deny that the sky is blue and this. We all went to school and we all know that there are summer breaks. That's true. But there weren't summer breaks for Mr. Thomas. He worked year in and year out and suddenly finds from the union that he's no longer going to be working. In that instance, there was no break in successive terms. And also, the preamble of the statute, of the Employment Security Act, states that people who are unemployed through no fault of their own should qualify for unemployment benefits. It also says that the statute should be liberally construed to relieve the suffering caused by unemployment. And Mr. Thomas, I think, testified eloquently on pages 13, 14, 15 of the hardship that this inflicted upon him and others similarly situated. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
All right. You indicated his union told him he wouldn't be working in the summer. He had two different positions in the school district. Was he represented by the same bargaining unit for both of those positions?
That was my impression that...
Does the record tell us the answer to my question?
I don't think the record answers that question, Your Honor. This court said... in the Evans case, quote, on page 866, the state advances no principled reason for concluding that summer is qualitatively different from the other terms. And that same logic and that same language applies to Mr. Thomas. There's no principled reason why.
Wouldn't there be a qualitative difference in the sense that there were no classes going on at all during the summer in the elementary school, were there?
I reread the record this morning, and my recollection was there's no testimony about that one way or the other. We didn't represent Mr. Thomas at the hearing. These cases came to us after the hearing had happened. So,
but the trial court so found, and there was no challenge to that. Is that correct?
The
hearing officer so found, and there was no challenge to that finding.
I don't remember a specific finding of fact, but I didn't reread the ALJ's decision this morning. But we're also reviewing the commissioner's decision.
It's qualitatively is different because he's not working in the lunchroom this summer. He's out working on the grounds.
The work is different. We could say that's qualitative difference, but. I don't think whether there's, it doesn't seem to me that whether there is classroom activity going on should be determinative for people who are working year-round at a year-round institution. It's a year-round institution, whether students are there or not, as evidenced by...
You make a very appealing argument, but it strikes me as a policy argument that needs to be addressed in the legislature.
Well, to some extent, it's a policy argument, and the policy is stated in the preamble that people who are unemployed through no fault of their own should qualify, and a principled extension of the Evans case would allow people like Mr. Thomas to qualify. For those reasons, we would respectfully request that the court reverse the commissioner's decision.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is April Benson Bishop. I represent the Employment Security Department. John Thomas failed to prove that he qualified for unemployment benefits in the summer of 2011 because he was a school employee and he had a reasonable assurance of returning to work in the fall. The court should affirm. Thomas argues he should have qualified for benefits under the Employment Security Act's mandate for liberal construction, but no statutory construction is necessary in this case because a directive for liberal construction doesn't mean that a claimant gets benefits, whereas here he or she doesn't qualify under the plain language of a statutory provision. Here, the plain language of Washington's Reasonable Assurance Statute, RCW 50-44050, says that employees of educational institutions don't qualify for benefits during periods that fall between successive academic years.
Is there evidence in the record that the school was actually not in session during the summer?
I would begin my answer to that question with reminding the court it was Mr. Thomas's burden to establish his eligibility for benefits, so any absence of evidence in the record should weigh in the department's favor, not Mr. Thomas's. But there is evidence that it was a summer break, as the court alluded to in its questions. The ALJ findings reference a summer break, particularly in finding of fact 3, and the commissioner's decision on page 64 also finds that there was a summer break. And that's supported by Mr. Thomas's testimony on pages 12 through 14 that his work as a lunchroom manager was during the school year term, which ran from September through June. Also his questionnaire to the department on page 44, the school's questionnaire on page 41, which shows that he was on a school break and would return after summer break. That's on pages 41 and 42.
And doesn't the findings further state that, can we reasonably infer that from finding number 2, that in the spring before each summer break, the employer sends out letters to individuals, and this is just not Mr. Thomas specifically, but
yes,
anyone who needs work during the summer break.
Yes, and to take that point further, the record also makes clear that Mr. Thomas and other workers were not guaranteed the summer work. The school representatives, school representative testified to that effect. And there's no indication that when Mr. Thomas was hired, he was hired to be a year-round employee. He was hired as a lunchroom manager for during the school year term. So this is the exact type of situation that the statute is meant to address. School employees know that the school year generally runs for 9 months and has a summer break, and it's not the type of unpredictable layoff that unemployment benefits are meant to help relieve. Additionally, under the Evans case and under subsection 5 of the reasonable assurance statute, it's clear that the court is to look at the circumstances of the particular institution, not the circumstances of the individual employee. This record, as we just discussed, shows that July and the summer was generally not part of an elementary school in the Seattle School District's academic year. Additionally, I would note that his argument seems to ignore the fact that the statute uses the phrase academic year. So even if he had previously been working in the summer, which the record shows he was, that doesn't necessarily mean that the institution continued its academic year into the summer, and the court should give effect to that phrase in the statute as well. So under the plain language of the statute, Mr. Thomas was not eligible for benefits. It's clear he had a reasonable assurance of returning to work in the fall, and he hasn't presented any reason why the court should find otherwise. Mr. Thomas argues he should be eligible because he'd been converted to a year-round employee based on his previous work history. The Evans case addresses this to some extent, but as the court seemed to recognize in its questioning, again, we're looking at the particular institution, not necessarily whether this particular individual had a history of working in the summertime. There they looked at a community college and whether a summer term should be considered an academic term, decided there was no reason for concluding the summer term was different. Credit hours were offered, grades were awarded, and students were granted credit, so it wasn't shown that summer was some kind of off quarter. And here there's no comparable evidence to that effect. All evidence shows that summer was a summer break, in fact, for this institution. His summer work history is also irrelevant to the terms of the statute. This wasn't a severance of the employment relationship between Mr. Thomas and the school district. He seems to suggest in his reply brief that he should be entitled to benefits for this one summer at least. As the department argued in its brief, it's hard to say what a workable standard would be for Mr. Thomas's argument, whether he's entitled to benefits every summer now since he has worked in previous summers.
Well, it does sound like he was sort of hung out to dry this particular summer, doesn't it? He'd been relying on it for the past 3 years. There's no question about it. He got it, and it wasn't until the last minute just before summer arrived that he was told not this year. I mean, that seems an element of unfairness there.
I think as a practical matter, it's certainly difficult for Mr. Thomas and unfortunate, but that, as Judge Leach noted before, seems more like a policy argument to be addressed to the legislature than for this court to award benefits, because we feel bad for him for this one summer. Again, it was Mr. Thomas's burden to show that he was eligible for unemployment benefits, and he didn't hear under the plain language of the reasonable assurance statute. We would ask that the court affirm.
Thank you.
Just four quick points. The Evans case, I think it's interesting that Ms. Evans had never worked during the summer. And in fact, she just applied to work for the summer, and nevertheless, this court granted her benefits. Secondly, like Mr. Thomas, she did have reasonable assurance of work in the fall. Mr. Thomas had what the school district passes as reasonable assurance, which is implied reasonable assurance of work in the fall, but it didn't disqualify her from benefits in that case, and it shouldn't disqualify Mr. Thomas. Secondly, as to the court's question about findings of fact, I looked at, while I was sitting down, there's no findings of fact either from the ALJ or from the commissioner with regard to whether school was going on. Counsel says it was Mr. Thomas's burden of proof. That's true. We didn't represent Mr. Thomas, as I said, at the hearing. If we had, perhaps we could have got that into evidence one way or the other. But I don't think that its absence is determinative, because what's critical is that there's no break between terms, between successive terms, whether we're looking at the institution or we're looking at the individual. Finally, counsel says that he had no guarantee of work in the summer. In an at-will state, workers don't have a guarantee of working ever. So that shouldn't be determinative either. So for those reasons, that Evans should apply directly, or at least a good faith extension of Evans should apply, and under the two policies with regard to being unemployed through no fault of their own and liberal construction, we respectfully ask that this court reverse the commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson.
That concludes our calendar for today, and we are in recess.